Us. That's us. Amazing to me what it takes for somebody to admit that. I can't change this. I can't pay you back, God. I can't make promises and then I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. No, you won't. You can't. Besides that, it's unnecessary. Redemption simply means that God has stepped in and he's delivered us from an unfixable situation that we're powerless to change. It's odd, but when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, you guys started out so great. You got it. You understood this. But now somebody's come in and they messed you all up because now you think that God started you out this way, but now you have to earn it. I was thinking this last night before I went to sleep, I was thinking about how long it took me to get this, to undo the training that I had, the church I grew up in. And when I first discovered the book of Galatians, I used to fall asleep with the book of Galatians with my Bible open across my chest, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and turn the lights on just to look and see if it was still there because it was such fabulous news. But I was thinking about all the songs that we used to sing. One of the songs we used to sing in our Hitler Youth Corps or our Christian youth group, the lyrics said, we must wear a spotless robe, clean and righteous before the world. We must show we're cleansed from sin, proving duly that we're truly Christ's ambassadors. Now, the intention of that is partially true. But see, that's what's wrong with the Christian world right now. We're trying to show the world that we're better than them. And we're not. Thank Joe again for me, will you? We're just better off than them. If we are better at all, it would be something he did, not something that we did. Does it mean that I don't care about how I live? Well, I tell you, if you really understand God's grace this way, it makes me want to live for him. I hate my stinking flesh. I'm so sick that I don't represent him properly. But all my weight is on him to change that. And I know he's in a fixed position toward me. And if I have a bad day, his position towards me does not change. I can hurt my fellowship with him. I can actually, it's like cutting the phone line. The Bible says, if I'm cherishing sin in my heart and then I'm trying to kissy face all, pray up to God, you know, the phone line's been cut. He doesn't even listen, it says in the Psalms, until I take care of that sin issue. But his posture towards me is that he loves me. That's why he hates sin. Because he loves me. So we've been set free. We've been delivered. We were powerless to change it. We're still powerless to change it ourselves. He's paid the debt we couldn't pay. And what was the price this all cost? It may sound like theological splitting hairs, but it wasn't through God's love that we were redeemed. It wasn't through his power that we were redeemed. It's through his blood that we were redeemed. And that's not a small thing. It was his love that made him bleed. It was his power that made it happen. But don't lose the fact when you start thinking, how much did God want to do this? He died. He bled. Max Lucado had the most eloquent way of saying this of anybody I've ever heard. He said, Jesus loved you so much, he would rather die than live without you. That's what it means to be redeemed through his blood. He paid that price. Why? Once again, several times in this chapter says, because it made him really happy to do it. So, in him we have redemption, apolutrosis. In him we have forgiveness. This is another word I mispronounced. Ephesus is the Ephesus or Ephesus is sort of like Ephesus, only with an A in terms of the pronunciation. Forgiveness of our sins. By the way, there are lots of different Greek words for sin. I didn't know that until he started looking it up. But this is the word for just the general category of falling short, stepping out of bounds, deliberately or not deliberately. Trespasses, I mean, it's a pretty broad word. But the word Ephesus. It's a two-stage word. It means pardon, and it means freedom, liberty. Lord, please help me. This is so important. Help me to do justice to it. The pardon part is hard enough to believe. The example that I've always used is that when God forgives us, the thing the Bible says over and over, Old and New Testament, by the way, when God talks about how he deals with sins that are given to him and repented of, it's the example is that that page is ripped out of the book. It's just not there. We used the computer example last week of pressing the delete button and clearing the screen. That's one stage. Pardon for the penalty. Just the next one, I think, I don't know why nobody told me this growing up. One of the things George MacDonald said in one of the ways that he put it was, God doesn't just free us from the penalty of our sins. God frees us from the sins themselves. It's what Peter said there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, where he said, if we do this thing of walking in fellowship with him, what we have in him is that there's no reason that we would ever fall. We've been set free from the necessity, the bondage to sin. Can you wrap your brain around that? We still do sin. First John says, if you say you don't, you're a liar. And you're calling God a liar. But here's the thing I want you to see. God has provided in Jesus the freedom from me being a sinner. Not just the pardon for the sins that I commit, but the freedom to not be a sinner. How little I have asked for that. How little have I relied upon that. And of course, that's why I still sin. Paul said in an interesting way, I believe in Romans, he said, we're not obligated to live that way anymore. We used to be. We were slaves. We couldn't help it. But now we don't have to. And I don't know, that just gives me such great hope. It gives me such great possibility. Once again, it's one of those things that church people water down all the time, say, well, you know, boys will be boys. First of all, that's the wrong attitude to have about my sin. It breaks God's heart. He paid a high price to set me free from that. Paul said, why would I want to keep doing that if I realize that? But I love that he's given me the power in Jesus to be free from that, not just to be free from the penalty. Okay, here's the measurement. Technically, if you were to arrange this properly with proper syntax, this next phrase should apply to all four of these things: redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, and understanding. The phrase in accordance with or according to, it means this is the measure or the degree that God uses to distribute or to give us what he's given us. In accordance with, and he uses some very, very fat words, the riches of his grace which he's lavished upon us. That's the measuring stick. Some translations say riches of his grace, say the abundance. We've talked about this word before. The Bible uses it a lot. You know what? I didn't even write it down, what the Greek word is. Sorry. Ask Fred later. He'll tell you. Here's the Greek word, It simply means excessive amounts. It means more than enough. That's what riches, abundance, that's what that means. But the adverb, or the verb lavished, or which he gave us in a lavish way, that means super abundance. And the Bible uses that word a couple of times as well. It means overflowing, more than enough. Here's what it means. It's the exact opposite of stingy forgiveness. It's exactly the opposite of probation. It's the exact opposite of resentful forgiveness. And those are all things that I grew up with, thinking, okay, yeah, I sent my son to die for your sins. Okay, I'll forgive you. But boy, I'm watching you. No, it just speaks of something that is so far superior to the power of my sin, which is powerful. Look at the world around you, and the worst things in this world are all simply because of sin. That's how powerful sin is. There's only one thing more powerful, and that's God's love and ability to forgive. I always thought that forgiveness was rationed out in that way that people do. It's a quirky thing. It's tragically quirky. If I can even put those two terms together. That churches are one of the few armies that shoot their wounded. That the very people that need help to be strong are often worse off when people in their church find out. And it's so, I once again think that largely is when we're looking at people through human eyes and not looking at people through God's eyes, because all of these words tell me that when God gives redemption, when he gives forgiveness, and as we're going to look in our last 10 minutes about wisdom and understanding, he does it lavishly. How much do you need? You ever talk to somebody and you would tell them about Jesus and they say, oh man, I wish that was true, but you just don't know what I've done. You don't know what a sinner I am. I can't tell you how many people I talk to. First of all, I want to say, look, my sins can beat up your sins with one hand tied behind their back. I'm way worse of a sinner than you are, I'm sure. And even if I'm not, there's way more than enough that you could ever possibly tax or exhaust that has been offered to you in Jesus. I was going to sing the song this morning, and I just totally got lost in worship, and I didn't pay any attention to my list. I love it when that happens, by the way. Remember the song we sing? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's scripture, by the way. It's straight out of scripture. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. See, that was such a foreign concept to me. I truly was raised in a Christian environment where you are on probation the rest of your life. Three strikes and you're out, buddy. Three tickets and we take away your driver's license. Which just makes people dishonest. It's what wonderful news to know that there's always more than I could possibly exhaust. He's not going to run out. The word, I did write the word down for abundance. Plutos. Plutos. Sort of like the cartoon character in plural. Exact opposite of stingy, exact opposite of probation, exact opposite of rationed out. Let's look at these last two things. I think I've got 5 minutes at least, maybe 10. And I do want to sing a song at the end. I always forget, and it's such a great thing to do. So please remind me of somebody. Sandra would, if she was here, she'd wave me down. Along with this, or in, it's interesting, two different translations that I've looked at either make the preposition in or with. I think the New Living says along with, and I'm not too worried about it because there's a wonderful scripture in Colossians 2:3 that says, in Christ are all of the riches, all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're ours. So this word wisdom, Sophia, is the word. One of the most common words in the Greek vocabulary amongst philosophers. They love to talk about this. I want you to notice the little adjective here. How much wisdom has God given us in Christ? Three little letters. All. All. There's nothing that you truly need to know that is true wisdom that you would find outside of him. The word wisdom, Sophia, in the Greek context of this word wisdom, it simply means knowledge of the most precious, divine, eternal things. And this word understanding, prudence, phronesis, phronesis, I'm getting paranoid about my pronunciation, phronesis, is practical knowledge and insight. Here's one cool little addendum to that definition. So you've got everything you need for divine things. You've got everything that you could possibly need for practical things, insight. Doesn't that sound a lot like 2 Peter 1:3? God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness in Jesus. This is exactly the same thing. Here's the thing about phronesis, though. It's practical knowledge, insight, especially regarding relationships with other people. It's one of those things like the word macrothumia, which is translated long-suffering, long-fusedness. It generally means what it says, long-fused, slow to lose your temper, but its application especially has to do with regarding people. You ever have trouble understanding other people? Yes. I don't even understand me. I am so grateful that what I've been given in Jesus is every kind of practical knowledge and insight that I would need for life and for the divine and the eternal things, the things that really matter. So do you feel thoroughly equipped yet? Yeah, you married the handsome prince. Or if you're a male, you married the handsome princess. And then you find out they're a gazillionaire. And everything they have is everything that you have. What does it make you want to do? For me, now in my life, it makes me want to take him everywhere. It makes me want to involve him in everything. It makes me not want to leave anything out. I think I talked a couple of weeks ago about how fabulous it is. I never learned properly how to work on cars. He's helping me. I can't tell you how many times I've fixed one of my many broken down British vehicles with insight that God's given me. I can't tell you how many times I came to church and I said, I'm the wrong guy. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be a pastor. I don't know how to do this. And he said, I'll help you. How many times I've said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And he says, good. Then you'll stay close to me. You'll listen to me. You know what? Every time I do that, he comes out smelling like a rose. And because I'm standing next to him, I come out smelling like a rose too. So these are wonderful things. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a song. How we need you, Lord. You knew that. You designed it that way. These are bigger words than I could possibly do justice to, Lord, and you're just constantly teaching me. Thank you for what you've given us free access to, because you have held nothing back of yourself, even to people like us. But you know that the problem is we just don't we don't take advantage of that. We don't walk in you and live our lives in you. And so, Lord, help us to do that. I pray that all of us would be changed people day by day, closer and closer to you, depending on you when we're having fun, depending on you when we're overwhelmed with trouble, depending on you whatever emotion we're wrestling with. We need in yourself. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you.